This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good afternoon, man.
Hey, good afternoon to you too, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's a joy to be on the radio with you this afternoon and, man, getting some good laughs pre-show here, which is fun, and commiserating on some life events and all that kind of stuff.
But yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, the first part of the show is always funny because you and I, you know, folks just kind of have an idea of this by now after, you know, 20 years of us recording. Not really, what, 7 years, 8 years? I don't know. 400 episodes.
It's been some
time. But, anyway. You know, Bo and I, we link. He's in Texas now. I'm in Mississippi. And so we, you know, link up and have our little chat, you know, a few minutes before kind of preparing for the podcast. And then while we're doing all our little technical stuff, you know, Bo and I are just, you know, catching up on this and that. It's our weekly, you know, date time, right? We have
a little check in. That's right.
Yeah. A little moment where, you know, we're kind of just seeing what's going on with each other. And so every single week, you know, whenever I hear Bo's voice or he hears mine, you can tell a lot of, you know, about a person's kind of countenance based on how their voice sounds and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why podcasting is so strong and powerful, because it's intimate. It's your voice, you know? And so,
that's right.
Anyway, so Bo, you know, it sounded like he was wearing sackcloth earlier. So we've been trying to lighten it up a little bit, and just getting with the program here. But anyway, it's funny, you know, we talk about this kind of first. This is a pipe smoking podcast, but we talk about this first little silly part of the show. That's this kind of intro in, and you know, where Bo and I are starting out. And I was listening to last week's episode, which I'm sure a lot of folks did, and we'll have a lot of comments about at some point. But you know, it's funny, right there, Bo, at the beginning of the episode, yeah, one of the first things I said as you asked me how I was doing, I said I was covered in vomit. do you remember that?
I do remember that.
Do you remember that? The problem is that I didn't in any part of that conversation, I didn't explain the fact that that was due to me having a baby. like I have a month old baby.
Oh my gosh.
And so,
that's,
you know,
hilarious.
And to give you an idea, I never listen to our podcast. Like, I think people know that. Like, I get on mic, I record this stuff, and then I just, you know, go about my day, and it's like it never happened, and people talk to me about it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I think we talked about that, whatever, but I don't listen to podcasts. Like, I just, it's something I don't do. And right, because of last week's content, I listened to last week's podcast probably eight times.
Wow.
Kind of absurd. But it was so funny because every time I listened to it, it was like, man, I just really should have, you know, for the people that have never listened to Country Squire Radio that listened to that episode, like, we just lead in with, like, I'm covered in vomit, you know?
I didn't even put two and two together on that one.
I do want to explain that is because I have an infant at my house that it's not my vomit. It's not my wife's vomit. It's not Bo's vomit. It's not the dog vomit. It's my infant's vomit. And so that makes it a little more
that's hilarious, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, just because obviously just with context and everything, I kind of had this sense of, like, well, of course you're covered in vomit. That just tracks.
Because it's just John David Cole, yeah.
Well, and you know, the weight of last week's episode and everything was interesting. I think that's where our headspace was, and so I didn't think, like, and normally I'm good about that because I always try to be mindful of, like, every single episode is somebody's first episode, and I want to, you know, I don't want to pretend like people just know us, but at the same time, you know, we're hundreds of episodes in, so there is a little bit of grace that's given in kind of like, for example, right now we haven't dived into the topic. It's almost like 5 minutes in. That's like a cardinal sin I tell, you know, all of my clients. But at the same time, when you got a couple hundred episodes and, you know, like a great audience like we do, you got a little wiggle room, a little bit, not much. They're going to bail on us here in a few minutes, you know, a few moments if we don't get along. But dude, yeah, that's hilarious. You were covered in vomit just like that one night in New Orleans, but this time, no, even then the vomit wasn't yours. But just different.
It was like that pipe tobacco one time that made me so paranoid that I almost vomited, though. What was that like? I think that was that Bayou Morning from Cornell and Deal? I can't remember. I was sitting around with a bunch of friends. We were smoking.
What are you doing with the shots fired right now? What are you doing, man? This is a light back. Nice episode. What are you talking about?
I'm just saying, you know, it's sometimes strong pipe tobacco. It's not that it was nasty pipe. It was just so strong, you know, and on an empty stomach, it hits you. And before you know it, you're like, I need some McDonald's. Yeah.
Well, man, listen, let me tell you, I'm super excited that we get a chance to sync up. And we got a fun episode today. We're going to be talking about fun companies, some fun products. And a lot of other great stuff as well. But of course, the only reason why we are able to come to you right now is by the support of our amazing patrons at patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio. The Country Squire Radio International Club membership is going strong. The great pipe community that is there. I've been looking at different ways in which we could all sync up. There's actually, you know, I failed to mention this to you, and maybe I shouldn't even mention it on air, but I guess I've already started, so let's just
roll. Yeah, you're going
it.
To now, and yeah, now we'll I just have to, you know, pay for it on the back end.
I think there's a way for us to set up kind of like we did that group Zoom call last year. I think there's something very similar that we might be able to arrange where people can do recordings and maybe send in some questions via audio as opposed to just reading the show, so they could actually hear their voice on the show from time to time and that sort of thing.
Cool.
So I'm looking into that. Hopefully that'll be available to club members here in the near future as soon as the technology gets worked out. But we're thrilled and excited to be here and thank everyone over at patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio for helping to make this show happen. John David, man, we are talking about a fun company today. Some amazing, fun, innovative products. And honestly, man, it makes me want to sing. Zip-o-dee-doo-da, zip-o-dee-day.
And no, this is not a Disney show. We've done two or three of those by now.
That's true,
And we, you know, our friend Brian Levine over at Pipes Magazine, he is the expert on that. So if you want to learn any more about that, go talk to him. But the zip-o-dee-doo-da episode is about the Zippo lighter, the iconic Zippo lighter.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You know, do you have a Zippo, Bo, or is this something you've had in your collection?
So, no, you know, I do have like a lighter. It is classy in the sense that it is a Bartholomew Icarus and Karen's with a C. Lighter handed down from a patronager of gasoline to one's automotive vehicles in the high. It's a big lighter,
man. Would you say Bartholomew Irvin Cairns? You're thinking on your feet, man. I'm proud of you.
That's because it's an Icarus.
that's awesome. That's completely ridiculous. Man, the Zippo lighter. I highly recommend at some point we add one to your collection. You know, if only you had a friend, one of your close friends that was in the premium tobacco retail business,
right?
Maybe you could get the hookup. But we wanted to talk about the Zippo lighter today. It is, of course, well-known in the pipe world, but well-known in the smoking world and in the gentlemanly world and in the collector's world for almost a century now. It's just an amazing product that has a very long history and is iconic and something we thought we would feature. We've done different company exposés before, certainly many of the pipe manufacturers and some different lighter manufacturers and stuff like that. But we thought we'd dive into the history of the Zippo, and certainly no lighter is more iconic than the Zippo. It's an iconic lighter, like I said. It's a durable lighter. It's a real American lighter. It's certainly an American invention, and probably the most special part of the Zippo, other than how handsome it is, how beautiful it looks, is that it's that special sound. Special sound.
It's iconic. Yes, sir.
And it's just, you can't really recreate that. You know, it's something that, you know, if you go back and watch your favorite World War II movies or, you know, something from, you know, the middle of the century, looking at these really famous folks and they pull out their cigarette at just the right time of the movie and then you hear that click, you know, with that flint wheel flying. It's just something that, makes the heart sing, and it's a beautiful thing. So, Zippo lighters founded in 1932. a man named George Blaisdell from Bradford, Pennsylvania. This was a gentleman that was born 1895. And, you know, it's funny, he didn't wasn't in the, you know, lighter industry, wasn't in the smoking industry, just someone that was kind of a novice at this type of thing. But he was interesting cat. He grew up in this kind of rural area of Pennsylvania. Actually attended school only until about the fifth grade, and then he was kicked out and never went back. So just not a formally educated person. His father tried to send him to military school, but he was kicked out of that and returned home. And so the family was like, well, I guess you're going to work in our machine shop. And you could imagine the machine shop that kind of gave him some expertise that he needed later down the road to manufacture some of these lighters. And so that's kind of, you know, where his background was. But one afternoon in the early 30s, he was a golfer, and he was at the Bradford County Country Club there in Pennsylvania. And he was smoking on the front porch, kind of observing, you know, some of his buddies out there. And he noticed that one of his buddies was fumbling with this lighter, kind of having trouble with it, but the flame was working in the wind. And he thought that was interesting. It's like, man, this lighter is good enough to actually allow the flame to, you know, produce during, you know, in a breezy environment. And so he went up to him and he said, well, why do you use this lighter? You know, because it's clumsy. And he was like, well, because it works, you know, it works in the wind. And it's an Austrian lighter. It worked in the wind. The only thing is it was awkward to use. It required two hands to operate the thing, and it was really ugly as sin. You know, it was just something that was totally utilitarian and that kind of thing. And so Blaisdell, he was, you know, one of these guys that had become an entrepreneur over the years and an inventor in his own right, and thought he could improve the design and make it more attractive and more durable. These fancy Austrian lighters that you would get them, and a lot of times the outside metal casing would be very malleable, something that just wasn't well produced. It was real clunky and large, and so, you know, in your pocket it would leave a large imprint and take up a lot of room, and it was just something that wasn't particularly practical, even though it worked in windy environments. And so,
right.
Yeah, he kept the chimney design. So when you're looking at the you know, the inside of a Zippo where the flame comes out of, it's got this kind of, you know, iconic chimney with these little holes in it. And it's similar to the Austrian lighter that he based this off of. And so the Austrian lighter, it was the inspiration for this. But so he kept this chimney, but he kind of fabricated a different rectangular case that held the lighter fluid in this interesting way. And it was attractive and more durable. And the key to him was that you could use it with one hand, which was just really kind of a deal clincher for him. And so, you know, he's got this beautiful lighter now that he's, you know, trying to figure out, okay, I think this is going to be a big deal. Of course, smoking culture and everything, it's then as it is today, you know, folks like their accessories and knickknacks, and it's a status symbol and all this other stuff. And, you know, you go to your pipe show and it's like, well, you got your Bo York over there using his, you know, Bartholomew Cairns lighter. And then right next to him, you've got the guy using his $250, you know, IM Corona. And you just know who wins at that point. And so,
wow.
And so he was like, well, I've got this lighter. I think it's going to go places. And, you know, what do we call it? What do you call it? When I went into this, one thing I was wondering about, because Zippo is such an interesting name, I was like, well, maybe it's like a like an Italian name or something, or maybe there's like a, you know, maybe somewhere there was like a Grandpa Zippo. I don't know. Like somewhere in Bulgaria, there's like a,
that,
you know what I mean? Like you just, I mean, you never know. It's like, who knows? But the name literally comes from the fact that Blaisdell really liked the word zipper. He was looking for something that was catchy and fun to say and interesting and sound kind of modern, you know, and, you know, was just looking for that thing to kind of help it stand out some and become, you know, become an interesting topic of conversation, which of course it did. And so this catchy name came about. And so you can rest assured there was no Grandpa Zippo or Grandmama Zippo anywhere in the old world, in the old country, you know,
not
connected with this. So, yeah, simple, modern, classic. He wanted something that was kind of modern sounding, but also fun to say. And so that's where it came from. And his trademark was, it quote, it works or we fix it for free, And that is still true to this day. So Zippo stands behind all their products, and really cool. And of course, they have just such a history of that. So the company, he had this lighter invented in the early 30s, and was kind of cranking them out, and then finally had the technology patented in 1936. And that was really important because Zippo, something happened in 1939. I don't know, Bo, if you I know you slept through most of your history class, but there was a large world event that happened in 1939 that affected most people on the globe. And so
right, you're talking about it was
the Care Bear Convention, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The console wars, wasn't it back then? I think it was
the console wars. Yeah. Right. Of course, in 1939, World War II kicked off, and so up through then, Zippo was trying to get its hands kind of in the consumer market, and then of course, early 1940s, the United States entered World War II, and a lot of folks their understanding of Zippo comes from, I inherited my grandfather's Zippo he had in World War II, right? They collect these things, right? It's like, I've collect these World War II era Zippos or whatever. What's interesting is, a lot of folks think that these were issued to soldiers in World War II, and that's actually not the case. What happened is the Zippos were just common objects found in the military PXs, where they'd go in and buy whatever supplies they wanted, and so they had some space in a lot of these places, and they were popular, and so the soldiers would request the PX would carry this particular item, and so they got popular and have been carried there ever since, and so it was just interesting, this iconic product got in the hands all of a sudden of people that were about to go all over the world. And so the iconic Zippo, you had when you think about those classic World War II movies, soldiers lighting a cigarette, that sound, that beautiful sound is always heard with that flint wheel striking and turning that wick on fire, and it's just kind of a neat thing that was a real tool for these soldiers. It wasn't just a status symbol. It was something that they used every single day. And in 1941, they were actually producing so many of these things for the military to go in these PX stations that they actually ceased operations completely except to make Zippos for the U.S. military. And so that's why, Zippos, you see so many of them that were around during this time period that are associated with veterans. And of course, they're highly collectible and family heirlooms. Folks pass them down. And, hey, this Zippo was, my grandfather's in Normandy and all this kind of stuff. I mean, you just hear that. Yeah. It's just really special. So soldiers were, they had these Zippo lighters. And then, of course, they dispersed all over the world from the United States. And the Zippo name went with them. And it became a household name in the Western world. So, folks, all over, Great Britain and France and anywhere these soldiers went became more familiar with Zippos. And so just kind of interesting, something that it percolated around the globe.
Yeah, you almost kind of you think about how a lot of companies try to get Ford always has that what's that actor's name from Big Lebowski? They're always talking about just you haul a bunch of stuff in your Ford. There's always they're trying to communicate something and
about their identity, right? Yeah.
About their identity. Like if you drive this, this is what it says about you.
Yeah.
And you gotta think about back in time, World War II, especially with the product demand that required essentially all these Zippos funneling directly to the soldiers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why that there is kind of this iconic connection between, or just with the imagery of the soldier and the Zippo lighter. And it's not based on a marketing campaign.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's,
no, that's right.
It is highly legitimately tied to our history.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't have to invent this, they didn't have to invent the story of it. It really was a thing, and certainly is, just something that you identify immediately with that era. And then, smoking enthusiasts, whether premium or not, adopted this. And of course, it continues throughout this day. But so, it the war ended, they wanted to continue to grow this market. And the family, George Blaisdell, he actually was like, well, okay, we got to get back in the consumer game. And now we're really, really popular and we've saturated the market and everyone's clamoring for these, but we don't want to give way to, you know, other vendors if they, you know, invent a new lighter that, you know, might come and compete with ours. And so he made a car that had a lighter shaped roof on the car, and it was the Zippo
mobile. Wait.
It's a real
thing,
man.
He made a car that had a lighter shaped hood.
Roof. Yeah. It's amazing. You can see a mock-up of this at their Zippo Museum actually today.
Look at that.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
I have never seen this before in my life. This is amazing.
I know, man. I think the only thing that would make it better is if it was, functional.
Right.
But, you know, if that much flame around that much gasoline is just probably not a good idea.
I mean, could you imagine? You need like a massive cigar, or I mean, I don't even know how you do a pipe that would be able to angle at such a
I don't know.
Size in that.
I don't know.
You have to use a crane.
But if you will look this, listener, if you'll look this this vehicle up, the Zippo car, you'll, if you can just imagine,
it pops up.
Jalopy that is the most, let's just say the worst gas mileage vehicle probably out there. Let's say wind resistance was not a concern of theirs. They weren't really thinking about that. But, man, just really cool. He crossed the country.
I'm sorry. Hang on. You know what it actually looks like now that I'm seeing it from that angle? Did you ever watch Arrested Development?
Yeah.
Oh, it kinda, remember how they had that staircase
looks like
car?
The stair car. Yeah. The stair car that, they lost all their family fortune and didn't have any vehicles. And so the only thing they had, they didn't have the family plane anymore, but they had the blue family stair car, right? That went up to the plane.
That's what this looked like. You think about the same problem with going under bridges and then the terrible wind resistance that you got to be getting while you're driving.
What a disaster. Yeah. You pick your date up with in the Zippo car. It's like, man, it's going to be a hot date. so bad. So he saturated the market even further in the 1950s, and that's when the Zippo became not just a well-known product, but a household product, and something that smokers sought after to get a very reliable flame, something that was trustworthy in a pinch, and something that you just knew you could count on. So the modern Zippo we know today dates from the 1950s. The patent was issued for that Zippo in the mid-1950s and really hasn't changed since. So, there's been a few tweaks here and there on the hinge or some of the little mechanical pieces. But, we're talking about a lighter that doesn't have that many moving parts. It's just a very simple, straightforward design. And that's the kind of the reason it's been so durable and has such a well-known reputation for being a consistent worker and lighting on the first strike and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just a real gem. So in the 40s through 60s, some different things came out, like the Zippo pipe lighter, which we'll talk about shortly. Of course, the different finishes that came out. You've got your original Zippo. Most Zippos are made of brass, some type of brass, and then they'll cover it with different finishes. There was a black crackled finish that was made of steel, and that was really popular during the World War II era because of the metal shortages. And so the Zippo for a while discontinued their brass items and went to all steel. And if you think about it, it's kind of I don't know if you were ever into coin collecting as a kid or something, but if you look back at pennies from that period, they actually did not make of copper. They made of steel there for a couple of years. And so same kind of thing, these old steel pennies, well, you know, even the Zippo, you have to sacrifice something for the greater good. They were using this, these materials for different applications. And so different finishes, commemorative Zippos came out, custom Zippos for different companies, of course, that were monogrammed. Mm. And that's still a big deal today. You know, you think about Harley Davidson Zippos and, you know, ones with American flags on it. And, any company out there, you know, a lot of these folks, they have their own branded merchandise like this. And Zippo was one of the first premium lighters to ever do that. And there was a factory in Pennsylvania that commissioned 500 of them in the 1930s. And that was the original commission of Zippo lighters. And if you're a Zippo collector, that's like, you know, one of those 500 is like finding the unicorn. You know, they're worth worth quite a bit. And so pretty neat. To this day, you can visit the Zippo Center in Bradford, Pennsylvania. And, you know, just a really neat place. They manufacture them there. They've got the museum you can go through, see the Zippo car, you know, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's just a pretty special thing. So, you know, when you think of Zippos, you probably, if you're outside the pipe world, you don't the Zippo is probably not the first lighter you think of for a pipe lighter. But in early on in its history, they invented, of course, what we know as the pipe insert for the Zippo. And this is a great, great invention that, you know, I wasn't even aware of until a few years after I started smoking a pipe. I just, you know, wasn't, you know, in a decent enough smoke shop until I met the country squire to know that these things existed. But man, they're so cool. It's just the, you know, the concept of the technology of the Zippo, but instead of a straight up and down chimney that you would expect when you open the cap, the Zippo is fitted with a insert that has a hole in the side of the chimney. And you're like, well, how does that work? You know, and the genius of it is really the simplicity of it. It's the simplicity of it, but also the physics of what flames do when they are burning. And they what do they do? Well, they go up. and so if you're holding your lighter with a pipe Zippo directly over the bowl of your pipe, the beautiful thing is while you're sucking in on your pipe in order to light it, the flame goes down into the bowl. It's really perfect. I mean, it really, really is perfect. And it's such a genius, you know, idea, and something that made the Zippo just very appropriate for pipe enthusiasts, and you know, was adopted very early on. And these inserts were sold separately, but you could also, and to this day, they still make a pipe insert or pipe Zippo specifically. You buy it for the pipe smoker, and you know, a lot of them will have little pipes on the side, the bottom right corner of the Zippo lighter. The most common ones are kind of a matte black finish, and they have a stainless steel version as well. But you know, there's been a lot of funky ones that have come out. They've really adopted that over the past 30 years. You know, they've got ones with Sherlock Holmes, and you know, just who knows? I mean, all kinds of stuff. It's just really really neat. Celtic knots, and you know, Harley Davidson, and just all the you know, cool you know, Zippo images that you can think of. They all, you know, are available now in a pipe pipe variety, which is kind of neat. So really cool. A lot of pipe folks in today's world, or you know, in our modern pipe culture, you know, we've talked about this kind of on the edges before, like the evolution of the pipe smoker. You know, I mean, back in the 70s and 80s, Bo, we had pipe smokers that were, you know, they were chugging, you know, a pound of pipe tobacco every couple of weeks. I mean, these were very regular smokers. And you know, we still have some of that at a shop like the Country Squire, where we've got these legacy customers that are, you know, they're coming in buying half pounds, you know, 12 ounces a pound, you know, every couple of weeks. We have that. So many more of the modern pipe smoker, their sensibility is to smoke, you know, a little bit here, a little bit there. Well, I'm going to buy this 10 and I'll go through it every couple of days, and then when I, you know, finish that, you know, if I don't finish it, I'll put it in my cellar with some other stuff, and you know, if I do, then I'll maybe go buy another 10 and work my way through that, or try some boutique tobacco from a place like our shop, or you know, some other blender. And so it's just a different kind of consumption, you know, of pipe tobacco nowadays. Right. Which is interesting, you know. So the modern pipe smoker is much more sensitive to any kind of impurity in the process.
Well, if you're not enjoying something with frequency, you're looking for quality.
Yeah, that's
in that enjoyment.
That's a great way to put it. That is a great way to put it. If you're not, if it's not this every single day kind of thing, you know, you're doing it, oh my gosh, I finally got this hour time block that I get once a week. It's Tuesday right. night. The kids are down. My wife knows I'm going to be out on the back porch. This has got to be perfect. You know?
Right.
And so the Zippo, the pipe Zippo, although it's available and it is widely used, it's not, you know, as common. It's not as popular with the real pipe aficionado of today, the folks that are collecting, esoterica and going after, boutique hand-blended tobaccos and, folks that are buying $600 Grant Batts and handmade briars and this kind of thing. These are folks that typically are just not using a pipe Zippo. And so
right.
What happened over the years, the problem with the pipe Zippo, and it works so beautifully, it's so foolproof. The problem is you can taste the fluid. You can taste the fluid. You can smell the fluid. It's something that is just kind of ever present there, with the experience of the Zippo. And so, and some people actually really like that. That's actually part of why they use the Zippo, is because that fluid, not only the smell of it is pleasant to them, but also it is nostalgic to them. They smell that and they think of maybe an uncle they were close to, or their father, or, maybe that smelled that every time they got into grandpa's truck or something. And, it's just how all sensory stuff is. It's just very romantic in some sense. Yeah. And so a lot of people use it for that reason, but a lot of people don't use it because of that very reason as well. And so something that took place about 20 years ago, they came out with these awesome Zippo inserts that were all aftermarket products. These were butane products. So, something that burns super, super clean that goes inside your Zippo case. And so the idea is you get to keep your cool Zippo. You get to keep the cool, sound and look and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But the innards of the lighter are, modern butane technology, which burns super clean, is designed to where you can't taste it. And so it's just, kind of a compromise. And actually that I've gone through several lighters. I've had, Coronas, and I've had, anything from, Bic lighter to whatever, MCO lighters. I've done them all. But I've kind of reverted back to, over the past year, my Zippo lighter with the butane insert. To me, that's just a great, great lighter. It's a compromise as far as something that is quality, but also something that I don't have to worry about too much because it's not too expensive. If I lose it, I'm not gonna have to call a priest and repent kind of thing. it's just not as big of a deal as losing a $150 Corona lighter or something of that nature. And it's really consistent. The inserts that were made initially were aftermarket products produced by folks like Vertigo or Calibri, and now Zippo actually makes some that are Zippo branded, which is kind of cool. So those are really great, highly recommend them, and think they ought to belong in everyone's collection. So yeah, kind of neat. There's a lot of Zippo facts. Just a few things to leave us here with today. Zippo has been around a long time, and so they have they just got a lot of little interesting tidbits of information around their company. Blaisel's daughter, George Blaisel, his daughter actually married a guy with the last name Wick. So his daughter's name is Wick, which is kind of interesting. The original first Zippo retailed for $1.95 in 1933. And if you think, okay, well, that's not a lot of money, but that is almost $40 today.
Wow.
So if you think about it, when next time you complain about the price of a Zippo lighter, something that literally has a lifetime warranty, you're paying about half. If it's going for $15 or $20, which we'll just say it's around $20, you're paying about half what someone paid for it in 1933. So, it's a testament to their fair pricing, but also, how technology has made it more efficient to manufacture these things and keep the cost down. The Slim Zippo was designed in the 1950s. There's a slim fit Zippo that's really attractive. Fits in your hand great. It was designed for women, but of course they were, surprised when, what do you know, men were the ones that actually started adopting them. Professional men, when, wearing their suits, wanting something that was low profile and elegant looking. And so that kind of took off. Bo, you know, when you go to a concert, a lot of times lighters are held up, right? As far as
well, hang on now. That's probably not as true as it used to be. Now people use their cell phones.
Their cell phone, right? Yeah, no, that's right. That's right. It is a cell phone. That's true. Well, you know, it used to be lighters back before before the iPhone or gosh, the Nokia, whatever started that. And right. And back in the 1960s, when that started at some of the earliest concerts, then it was referred to as the Zippo moment. And so,
wow, I never knew that. The Zippo moment.
Yeah, okay. That's where that came from. So there was originally, sometimes they would have these events and there was what they called the fan test. And to prove that the Zippo would work in wind, they would actually let people, before they purchased them, strike the Zippo in front of a working fan. And so that's kind of, you know, kind of neat. It was just something that they, you know, added as a additional gimmick to, you know, try to get people to buy in. One thing you need to know about Zippo is that Frank Sinatra was buried with a Zippo.
No way. Seriously?
He was buried with a pack of Camel cigarettes, a bottle of Jack Daniels, and a roll of dimes in case he needed to make a phone call, and his trusty Zippo.
There you go. Man, so,
the old Blue Eyes.
Man went out as he lived, legends.
They're pretty cool, man. Yeah, the Zippo, it's obviously an iconic company, an American company, and something I think all pipe smokers at some point ought to add to their collection. And try the original Zippo insert. Try it. Try the, you know, lighter fluid and see what you think about that. But if it winds up not being for you, like, you know, a lot of modern pipe smokers have decided, get you one of these butane inserts. We sell them at the Squire. You can get them at a lot of other, you know, online tobacco retailers that, you know, have pipe accessories and things like that. And it's just really neat. The butane goes into the insert. The insert fits perfectly into a modern Zippo case. And you're on your way with your cool Zippo lighter, but your clean fluid. So anyway, check it out.
There you go. Yeah. Look cool, but not dumb.
Get the, yeah, that's right. And smell cool. Yeah.
Man. All right. So I got to know, when was your first Zippo lighter? Do you recall?
Yeah. You know, I think I got my first Zippo probably about 20 years ago. Yeah, I would have been college. Yeah, which, gosh, has it been that long? Golly. So, no, yeah. Maybe, yeah, so not quite 20 years. I guess it would have been 18 or 17 years ago, something like that. But had a Zippo with the regular insert in it, and then probably about 12 years ago or so, got a pipe Zippo, and then eventually got the insert for the pipe Zippo, you know, the butane insert. So, but actually for a while used the regular insert for the Zippo. You know, one complaint about the Zippo a lot of folks have is that the fluid evaporates. You know, if you don't, if you're leaving it out, you know, regularly, or if it stays in your car or something like that, a lot of times the fluid inside the Zippo will evaporate. And so, you know, folks that don't use a Zippo lighter very often because they're just occasional smokers, they're like, well, where'd the lighter, where'd the fluid go? I just filled it up yesterday. Well, in reality, you filled it up 2 weeks ago and you left it on your front porch, and that's where that's why there's no lighter fluid.
Wow. Yeah, okay.
and so that's something that folks complain about. But the evaporation, a lot of folks, how they do get around that, or at least help it some, they'll take maybe some Vaseline and they'll actually pull the case out, the part that has the flame and all that. They'll pull it out and then put a very thin coat of Vaseline on the outside of that, and then put it back inside the Zippo case. And what you're doing is just kind of creating a seal, really, for less of that fluid to be able to evaporate, you know, in hot condition. So anyway, just a tip.
Well, there you go, man. Zippo, obviously an iconic addition to Americana, and perhaps an iconic addition that is greatly needed in my own collection, even though my Bartholomew Icarus Karen lighter has has served me well. I have been properly pipe shamed this episode here. Lighter shamed, I should say. With this, maybe I should confess my sins to a priest, as you have suggested. One, do we call a pipe smoking sins episode might need to happen, like confessions
or
something?
That's a good idea. Yeah.
We should get one of the priests, man. We should actually reach out to one of our pastors or priests.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, that's good. That would be great. Father Isaac or Father Andy we've got a lot of good ones to pull from. Yeah.
We do, man. Okay. That might have some legs right there. But let me tell you something. Some of those has legs. And of course, I'm talking about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. They have legs and ears of corn. They have great quality corn cob pipes that we know that many of you enjoy. In fact, it would be hard pressed to find a pipe smoker worth their salt that doesn't have at least a handful of Missouri Meerschaum pipes as part of their collection. Go to pipes not only to enjoy some quality pipe tobacco, but to make sure you have on hand as you're getting back together with friends. If you got somebody who wants to try a pipe, man, if you've got a couple of Missouri Meerschaums, you're ready to go to get them set up. I can't tell you how many I have utilized over the years to enjoy with family and with friends. And the best part about it is because of the quality and the amazing price, it's easy just to be like, hey, hang on to that one. I can always get another Country Gentleman. God knows I've got a couple of them already in the closet. So, yeah, man, our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. Hey, if you've got a Missouri Meerschaum pipe this week, be sure to smoke it. Take yourself a picture of yourself doing so. It's a great way to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for sponsoring this show.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com. Save big money at Menards.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week coming in this week from Ryan, who says, hey guys, great show. I went a bit crazy buying tins of tobacco so I could find what my palate likes. How long should a tin last once opened? And again, that is coming in from Ryan. That's a great question. I know a lot of, especially newer pipe smokers who are, as you mentioned before, who are not necessarily buying like a ton of bulk, but like expanding their palate, getting kind of those boutique tobaccos, and maybe only smoking about a bowl here or there, maybe once a week, maybe even less. And that's the real question. How long is it going to last in the tin?
Yeah, it's a great question. Same kind of thing like the Zippo. It's like, man, I filled this up yesterday. Why is it empty? And, you know, you open a tin of this expensive tobacco that you've been pining over and enjoy it. And then 2 weeks later, you come back to it. You're like, well, you know, I thought I just opened this yesterday. Where'd the moisture go? And, you know, a lot of it depends on your environment. You know, the key really for keeping it for the longest, amount of time available is to keep it in a, you know, indoor environment, something that's not too dry, too hot, too cold, too humid, just right. And so that indoor environment is really important. A lot of folks think they can keep these tins outside, and that's just not going to happen. It doesn't matter where you live. Temperature changes are going to affect the tin. Even if it's a sealed tin, it'll pop open. And so just bring them on inside, ask forgiveness from your spouse and all that kind of stuff. And, kind of cordon off a section of your closet to put these things in. And we just refer to that as your cellar. And so that'll help. But once you pop a tin open, the clock does start ticking. And it does depend on your environment. But typically, you know, after a couple of weeks, you really want to get that tobacco in a mason jar. Now, why do I say a couple of weeks? Well, you know, some of these tobaccos go into the can and they're actually already kind of dry to begin with. And so the more, you know, time that sits out, these tins, boy, they're beautiful and you love to look at them and they're fun to organize and they're fun to show off and tote with you and all this kind of stuff. But the reality is over time, and it doesn't take a lot of time, the moisture does start to, you know, escape from these open tins. And when you screw it together real tight, you think you're putting it on there pretty good, but, you know, it really is not holding the seal maybe as much as you'd like. And so particularly on a square tin, those square tins, man, they are just bad. But pretty as they are to look at and all that kind of stuff. But round tins too, you know, after 2 or 3 weeks, you're probably going to want to put this in a mason jar, you know, just something real simple that you can seal up real tight with your hand. I've actually seen, you know, tobacco dry out quicker in tins than I have in little Ziploc bags that we use like at the Country Squire to package tobacco up with. So, sometimes the tin tobacco actually dries out quicker than something in a little pouch. So, you know, after a couple weeks, I would poke it away in something. And yeah, it's disappointing because, you know, you don't have the pretty artwork and all that kind of stuff to look at if you put it in a mason jar. But I think as far as, you know, protecting the quality of the tobacco, you'll be glad you did.
Well, there you go. You know, it's a fun process too. It's kind of like a ritual in and of itself, is jarring up those tins of tobaccos. And you know, I've done it myself. Enjoy it quite a bit. And yeah, there you go. Hopefully, they'll last you a little bit longer there for you, Ryan. And hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, be sure to just send it in. That is show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
Question. All right, man. Quick fire questions. Carrying on with our bracket that was sent in to us, man. These are so much fun. We've been doing kind of some March Madness of brackets, and we're moving on to tobacco preparation. All right. This is where the rubber meets the road. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
All right. All right. Here we go. We're going to do the first round today, and then next week we're going to do the final.
It's March Madness, and it's May. I love it. It's great. Let's
it's May Madness. Okay. There you go. That's
May
right.
Madness.
It works out. All right. Are you ready, sir?
Where's the bracket taking us today? Bring it.
All right. All right. Ribbon cut versus crumble cake.
I'm gonna go with ribbon cut. Yeah, I think so. Hey, ribbon cut to me is more versatile. I like crumble cake. I really like crumble cake. I like what that does to the flavor of the tobacco, but I guess on average, I'll go with ribbon cut.
That's fun. So I thought, because this is very much on your preference. Well, I mean, like, it's not just your preference. It's about what you think would win in a fight and everything else. But it is. I mean, it's very much like, you know, the John David Coleness of it all is being brought to the table.
Of course,
sure.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, as much as ribbons seemed the obvious winner and or you know,
right.
you know, one to progress here. I thought you. I don't know. I thought with you at the
thought
wheel,
I'd go
crumble
with
cake.
The, with the
yeah.
cake, huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Well, we'll see where the rest of the bracket continues.
All right, here we go. Roll twist versus coin cut. Ooh, interesting.
Now, a roll twist versus a coin cut.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. These are basically the same thing, right?
Yeah. See, that's interesting because I've kind of, I guess we would think of a twist as like a tighter coin. You know, when you think of twist tobaccos, you've got, you know, the stuff from Gaywith and Hogarth, and there's some American kind of artisan folks that make twist tobaccos. We sell some of the Gaywith and Sam Gaywith stuff at our shop by the inch, you know, and it's a tight rolled kind of, you know, frankly, dog turd <Right. laughs> looking tobacco. You know, a coin cut, this is going to be something that's a slice of a larger portion of that, I guess. And so it also, yeah, tends to be a little thicker of a cut. So, and something that's not quite as tightly packed, and also something that is a little more processed, you know, maybe fermented longer, has a different variety of tobaccos in it, that kind of thing. So I think on average, I'm going to go with the coin slice.
Okay. All right. There you go. Coin slice. Yeah, that does make sense.
It's more fun to prepare a coin. I really like to prepare, you know, a coin. With a twist, it's great, but it's a little more
tedious,
involved, and sometimes that's almost too tedious. Yeah, even for pipe.
I was about to say, like, that's saying something for a pipe smoker too.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Plug versus flake.
Flake. The same thing. I you know, I love a plug. Plugs are great. They're interesting. There's a fun concept of the plug, and you know, it's a historic. You know, you just get your plug and throw it in your rucksack kind of thing. But man, there's something about flake tobacco. And you know, that, I don't know, flake is just great. Gosh, it's just great.
All right. Very good. Very good. All right. And then finally for today, shag versus cube cut.
I'm going to go with cube cut.
Whoa!
On this one.
Major upset. Did not see that coming.
I'm going to go with cube cut. You know, shag is shag burns kind of hot, I think. And there's a lot of shag cut tobaccos out there that are really meant for kind of cigarette rolling, but there are some that are actually pipe tobacco, you know, that are meant for premium pipe tobacco smokers. And you know, I just tend to think of that as being, it's almost like a little more clumsy. There's something hard about packing it, and keeping it lit. I don't know. I'm not a huge shag fan. We don't use a lot of it in our blends at the shop. And just kind of something, you know, I'm not really into. So I'm going to go with cube cut.
Interesting. I have to admit, I don't think, and I could be wrong here, I don't think I've ever actually smoked cube cut tobacco.
Yeah, we need to fix that. I'll send you some. Cube cut is interesting. There's a few different variations of it. Of course, you have tobacco that looks like little flat cubes that where it's basically just been cut into these little squares.
Right.
You know, some people refer to that as a cube cut. And then you have tobacco also called cube cut that is, essentially a real cube. Have you ever eaten that cereal Grape Nuts?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, Grape Nuts are great. I was actually eating Grape Nuts even as a kid, which is weird. But
I was too. That explains actually how weird both of us are, and we're probably and by why both of us got kicked on the playground.
Right,
and that kind of thing.
Sure.
But anyway, there's a Peter Stokeby makes a cube cut tobacco. It's mostly a Burley, Virginia mixture. There might even be some Dark Fire Kentucky in there. I can't remember off the top of my head. But that tobacco, they refer to it as their cube cut tobacco. And it really looks like Grape Nuts. It's just kind of this, crumbly, interesting little pebbles of tobacco. And so they literally have done more of a 3D cube, which is kind of fascinating. So, with those, that particular type, you're not really packing it in order to put it in your pipe. You're just kind of gravity filling your pipe, lighting it, and then letting it go. There's not really a lot of packing, not even a lot of tamping involved. It's a different process. Everyone ought to smoke a little of that particular cube cut at least once, just to see what it's like.
Yeah. All right. Cool. Admittedly, I've always been a little intimidated. So yeah, man, hook me up. And
yeah, we'll understandable.
Well, there you go. So going on then to the final rounds for next week, we'll have Ribbon going up against Coin Cut, Flake against Cube Cut. And hey, all of these brackets we actually have available right now to our amazing patrons and then to the Country Squire Radio Pipe Club membership. So if you are supporting the show, head over to Patreon and you'll find the blog post that has all of these, and you can kind of do this along with us. I'd be very curious to know, for those that are kind of plotting out their own brackets, who's going to end up with one resembling this one? I don't know. I don't know if it's possible. It'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, you know, they do the whole, if your bracket matches the bracket, you win $1 million or whatever. And that's not the case here.
No, that is not the case here. we should be very clear about that. That is definitely not the case here. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. So head over there. And yeah, there you go.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man. Listener feedback this week. Mm-hmm. All right, no. Actually, I have to throw this one in because we typically listener feedback. We like to share even the positive feedback that we get from time to time. It builds us up. It fuels us in many respects. And gets us excited to do the show. And the negative feedback. It's we have been very blessed that it has been few and far between. And I don't mean just very blessed because that means that's great for the show. No, it's because we are so dependent upon the praise of others that we wouldn't be able to survive.
That codependency I was talking about last week, where exactly. I just need people to like me. Yeah,
exactly.
I know, right?
But that notwithstanding, I need to throw this one in, man. I gotta make sure that we're putting the good in with the bad. And this one, I think is geared towards me. this is feedback from our episode 400, and it's just hire a proofreader since you have difficulty spelling.
I would wager to say that probably is geared towards you. Yeah,
yeah, just a hunch. Just a hunch.
Did you do you know what you misspelled? Was it something
everything.
In the title of
everything.
The
no, everything
of the show or
everything?
Okay. No, that's fine. That's fine. No, no more questions. Necessary.
All right. Old Dave in Tennessee, man, here on iTunes, though, wrote us a review. He said, simply outstanding. Well, since we have no pipe-related periodicals anymore, John, David, and Bo provide a much-needed and desired connection to all things pipes. I particularly enjoy the tobacco review sessions. Would love to see you do something about the Danish master carvers like Eltang, former, and the young man is working with Eltang. Oh, interesting. Okay, very, very cool. I also appreciate your open expression regarding your faith. That's rare these days. I am not typically an aromatic smoker, but now have several in my rotation after trying the Rivendell Cherokee and Figgy Pudding. Incredibly good with some good real tobacco flavors. These two boys seem like buddies to this old man, and I would love an opportunity to share a bowl and a glass of good old single malt with them. They can keep the boodles, though. it's well worth your time. And if you miss out, you'd be missing out on some great information and entertainment. So, man, that comes from Old Dave in Tennessee. So thanks so much,
Old Dave. That's great. Yeah, Old Dave, man. Appreciate you writing in.
All right, man. Next one's up. Another iTunes review from Life Jumper. What did Life Jumper have to say?
Life Jumper, this show is an experience. Yeah, yes, it is, Life Jumper. John, David, and Bo are a classic pair. I'm fairly new to the pipe culture. Finding this podcast is taking my love of all things pipe to the next level. You're probably not going to find someone as honest and knowledgeable at the craft as John David. Man, thank you. That's very kind. I think maybe we need to, you know, let you listen to some other pipe people. But anyway, I appreciate the kudos. He goes on to say, you will not find another person as down to earth as Bo. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. If you're ever around Pittsburgh, you will have to check out Allegheny Smokeworks. It's my local pipe shop and a good place to stop. So, and that's from Rob at who is Life Jumper on iTunes.
Man, I love Pittsburgh. I haven't been out that way in a long, long time.
I've never been to Pittsburgh. Yeah, I've just been to Philadelphia. That's the only part of Pennsylvania I've been to.
Gotcha. It's a beautiful city. You know, surrounded by bridges. In fact, if I'm remembering correctly, they shot, I want to say, The Dark Knight Rises there, because there's the scene where they get cut off and all the bridges blow off and everything. But no, my brother who passed away some years ago, or my brother-in-law rather, that passed away some years ago, lived in Pittsburgh, and so we would go out there for 4th of July for the fireworks and everything. And absolutely a very, very cool city. So
great American town, yeah.
Yeah, with apparently some good pipe tobacconists out that way as well. So have to check them out. Well, hey, thank you so much, Rob, for that feedback. And love getting these iTunes reviews in. It's a great way to help support the show and doesn't even cost you a dime to do it. But if you are willing to spend a few dimes to help keep the show on the air, head over to patreon.com/countrysquireradio to become part of the international club there. Like I said, you've got access to the brackets. We're going to do some fun new features for our club members coming up very shortly here in the future. And man, it's an exciting time. So we'd love to have your support there. Also want to encourage you, if you've got feedback and thoughts for the show, you can always send them in to the show at show@countrysquireradio. You can also follow the show throughout the week at Squire Radio. You can follow the shop @_countrysquire or John David @JohnDavidCole. And that is going to do it for us for this week, I believe. Man, Zippo, we zipped on right through that, didn't we?
We zipped on through it, man. Yeah, that was fun. I have a new appreciation for my Zippo after learning a little bit.
Whatever, man.
It,
but, what? No, you've never lacked appreciation for your Zippo. This is.
Yeah, I kind of do love it.
Yeah, man.
It is pretty special.
Well, good. I'm glad. I'm glad you'll be able to enjoy it. And until I spend the shekels, I'll just tuck away my Bartholomew Ickers.
Bartholomew Cain Carnes or whatever you say. Yeah.
Just tuck it away out of shame. But until next time, man, hey, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.